The Jerusalem Sinner Saved by John Bunyan. HailAndFire.com. And thus much for the reasons. I will conclude with a word of application. The application. First, would Jesus Christ have mercy offered him the first place to the biggest sinners? Then this shows us how to make a right judgment of the heart of Christ to men. Indeed, we have advantage to guess at the goodness of his heart, by many things. As by his taking our nature upon him, his dying for us, his sending his word and ministers to us, and all that we might be saved. But this of beginning to offer mercy to Jerusalem, is that which heightens all the rest. For this doth not only confirm to us, that love was the cause of his dying for us, but it shows us yet more the depth of that love. He might have died for us, and yet have extended the benefit of his death to a few, as one might call them, of the best conditioned sinners, to those who, though they were weak, and could not but sin, yet made not a trade of sinning. To those that sinned not lavishly. There are in the world, as one may call them, the moderate sinners. The sinners that mix righteousness with their pollutions. The sinners that though they be sinners, do what on their part lies. Some that are blind would think so, that they might be saved. I say, it had been love, great love, if he had died for none but such, and sent his love to such, but that he should send out conditions of peace to the biggest of sinners. Yea, that they should be offered to them first of all. For so he means when he says, begin at Jerusalem. This is wonderful. This shows his heart to purpose, as also the heart of God his Father, who sent him to do thus. There is nothing more incident to men that are awake in their souls, than to have wrong thoughts of God. Thoughts that are narrow, and that pinch and pen up his mercy to scanty and beggarly conclusions, and rigid legal conditions. Supposing that it is ruled, and an entrenching upon his majesty, to come ourselves, or to invite others, until we have scraped and washed, and rubbed off as much of our dirt from us as we think is convenient, to make us somewhat orderly and handsome in his sight. Such never knew what these words meant, begin at Jerusalem, yea, such in their hearts have compared the father and his son to niggardly rich men, whose money comes from them like drops of blood. True, says such, God has mercy, but he is loath to part with it. You must please him well, if you get any from him. He is not so free as many suppose, nor is he so willing to save as some pretended gospelers imagine. But I ask such, if the father and son be not unspeakably free to show mercy, why was this clause put into our commission to preach the gospel? Yea, why did he say, begin at Jerusalem? For when men, through the weakness of their wits, have attempted to show other reasons why they should have the first proffer of mercy, yet I can prove, by many undeniable reasons, that they've Jerusalem, to whom the apostles made the first offer, according as they were commanded, were the biggest sinners that ever did breathe upon the face of God's earth. Set the unpardonable sin aside, upon which my doctrine stands like a rock, that Jesus the Son of God would have mercy in the first place offered to the biggest sinners, and if this doth not show the heart of the Father and the Son to be infinitely free in bestowing forgiveness of sins, I confess myself mistaken. Neither is there, set this aside, another argument like it, to show us the willingness of Christ to save sinners. For, as was said before, all the rest of the signs of Christ's mercifulness might have been limited to sinners that are so and so qualified. But when he says, begin at Jerusalem, the line is stretched out to the utmost, no man can imagine beyond it. And it is folly here to pinch and pare, to narrow, and seek to bring it within scanty bounds. For he plainly saith, begin at Jerusalem, the biggest sinner is the biggest sinner. The biggest is the Jerusalem sinner. It is true, he saith, that repentance and remission of sins must go together, but yet remission is sent to the chief, the Jerusalem sinner. Nor doth repentance lessen at all the Jerusalem sinner's crimes. It diminisheth none of his sins, nor causes that there should be so much as half a one the fewer. It only puts a stop to the Jerusalem sinner's course, and makes him willing to be saved freely by grace. and for time to come to be governed by that blessed word that has brought the tidings of good things to him. Besides, no man shows himself willing to be saved that repenteth not of his deeds. For he that goes on still in his trespasses, declares that he is resolved to pursue his own damnation further. Learn then to judge of the largeness of God's heart, and of the heart of his Son Jesus Christ, by the word. Judge not thereof by feeling, nor by the reports of thy conscience. Conscience is often teams here befooled and made to go quite beside the word. It was judging without the word that made David say, I am cast off from God's eyes, and shall perish one day by the hand of Saul. Psalm 31, 22, 1 Samuel 27, 1. The word had told him another thing, namely, that he should be king in his stead. Our text says also, that Jesus Christ bids preachers, in their preaching repentance and remission of sins, begin first at Jerusalem, thereby declaring most truly the infinite largeness of the merciful heart of God and his Son, to the sinful children of men. Judge thou, I say, therefore, of the goodness of the heart of God and his Son, by this text, and by others of the same import. So shalt thou not dishonor the grace of God, nor needlessly fright thyself, nor give away thy faith, nor gratify the devil, nor lose the benefit of his word. I speak now to weak believers. Secondly, would Jesus Christ have mercy offered in the first place to the biggest sinners, to the Jerusalem sinners? Then, by this also, you must learn to judge of the sufficiency of the merits of Christ. Not that the merits of Christ can be comprehended, for that they are beyond the conceptions of the whole world, being called the unsearchable riches of Christ. But yet they may be apprehended to a considerable degree. Now, the way to apprehend them most, is, to consider what offers, after his resurrection, he makes of his grace to sinners. For to be sure he will not offer beyond the virtue of his merits. Because, as grace is the cause of his merits, so his merits are the basis and bounds upon them by which his grace stands good, and is let out to sinners. Doth he then command that his mercy should be offered in the first place to the biggest sinners? It declares, that there is sufficiency in his blood to save the biggest sinners. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. And again, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man's merits is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Acts 13:38. Observe then thy rule to make judgment of the sufficiency of the blessed merits of thy Saviour. If he had not been able to have reconciled the biggest sinners to his Father by his blood, he would not have sent to them in the first place, the doctrine of remission of sins. For remission of sins is through faith in his blood. We are justified freely by the grace of God, through the redemption that is in the blood of Christ. Upon the square, as I may call it, of the worthiness of the blood of Christ, grace acts, and offers forgiveness of sin to men. Ephesians 1, 7 and 2, 13 and 14. Colossians 1, 20 through 22. Hence, therefore, we must gather, that the blood of Christ is of infinite value, for that he offereth mercy to the biggest of sinners. Nay, further, since he offereth mercy in the first place to the biggest sinners, considering also, that this first act of his is that which the world will take notice of and expect it should be continued unto the end. Also it is a disparagement to a man that seeks his own glory in what he undertakes, to do that for a sport, which he cannot continue and hold out in. This is our Lord's own argument, he began to build, saith he, but was not able to finish. Luke 14:28. Shouldst thou hear a man say, I am resolved to be kind to the poor, and should begin with giving handfuls of guineas, you would conclude, that either he is wonderful rich, or must straighten his hand, or will soon be at the bottom of his riches. Why, this is the case. Christ, at his resurrection, gave it out that he would be good to the world, and first sent to the biggest sinners, with an intent to have mercy on them. Now, The biggest sinners cannot be saved but by abundance of grace. It is not a little that will save great sinners. Romans 5:17. And I say again, since the Lord Jesus mounts thus high at the first, and sends to the Jerusalem sinners, that they may come first to partake of his mercy, it follows, that either he has unsearchable riches of grace and worth in himself, or else he must straighten his hand, or his grace and merits will be spent before the world is at an end. But let it be believed, as sure he has spoken, he is still as full as ever. He is not a jot the poorer for all the forgivenesses that he has given away to great sinners. Also he is still as free as at first. For he never yet called back this word, begin at the Jerusalem sinners. And, as I said before, since his grace is extended according to the worth of his merits, I conclude, that there is the same virtue in his merits to save now, as there was at the very beginning.
Oh!
The riches of the grace of Christ.
Oh!
The riches of the blood of Christ. Thirdly, would Jesus Christ have mercy offered him the first place to the biggest sinners? Then here is encouragement for you that think, for wicked hearts and lives, you have not your fellows in the world, yet to come to him. There is a people that therefore fear lest they should be rejected of Jesus Christ, because of the greatness of their sins. When, as you see here, such are sent to by Jesus Christ to come to him for mercy, begin at Jerusalem. Never did one thing answer another more fitly in this world, than this text fitteth such kind of sinners. As face answereth face in a glass, so this text answereth the necessities of such sinners. What can a man say more, but that he stands in the rank of the biggest sinners? Let him stretch himself whither he can, and think of himself to the utmost, he can but conclude himself to be one of the biggest sinners. And what then? Why, the text meets him in the very face, and saith, Christ affereth mercy to the biggest sinners, to the very Jerusalem sinners. What more can be objected? Nay, he doth not only offer to such his mercy, but to them it is commanded to be offered in the first place. Begin at Jerusalem. Preach repentance and remission of sins among all nations. Begin at Jerusalem. Is not here encouragement for those that think, for wicked hearts and lives, they have not their fellows in the world? Objection. But I have a heart as hard as a rock. Answer. Well, but this doth but prove thee a bigger sinner. Objection. But my heart continually frets against the Lord. Answer. Well, this doth but prove thee a bigger sinner. Objection. But I have been desperate in sinful courses. Answer. Well, stand thou with the number of the biggest sinners. Objection. But my grey head is found in the way of wickedness. Answer. Well, thou art in the rank of the biggest sinners. Objection. But I have not only a base heart, but I have lived a debauched life. Answer. Stand thou also among those that are called the biggest sinners. And what then? Why, the text swoops you all. You cannot object yourselves beyond the text. It is a particular message to the biggest sinners. I say, it swoops you all. Objection. But I am a reprobate. Answer. Now thou talkst like a fool, and of that thou understandest not, no sin, but the sin of final impenitence, can prove a man a reprobate. And I am sure thou hast not arrived as yet unto that. Therefore thou understandest not what thou sayest, and makest groundless conclusions against thyself. Say thou art a sinner, and I will hold with thee. Say thou art a great sinner, and I will say so too. Yea, say thou art one of the biggest sinners, and spare not. For the text yet is beyond thee, is yet betwixt thee and thee. Begin at Jerusalem, has yet a smile upon thee. And thou talkst as if thou wast a reprobate, and that the greatness of thy sins do prove thee so to be, when yet they of Jerusalem were not such, whose sins, I dare say, were such, both for bigness and heinousness, as thou art incapable of committing beyond them. Unless now, after thou hast received conviction that the Lord Jesus is the only Saviour of the world, thou shouldst wickedly and despitefully turn thyself from him, and conclude he is not to be trusted to for life, and so crucify him for a cheat afresh. This, I must confess, will bring a man under the black rod, and set him in danger of eternal damnation. Hebrews 6:6-10:29. This is trampling underfoot the Son of God, and counting his blood an unholy thing. This did they of Jerusalem. But they did it ignorantly in unbelief, and so were yet capable of mercy, but to do this against professed light, and to stand to it, puts a man beyond the text indeed. Acts 3:14-17. 1 Timothy 1:13. But I say, what is this to him that would fain be saved by Christ? His sins did, as to greatness, never yet reached to the nature of the sins that the sinners intended by the text, had made themselves guilty of. He that would be saved by Christ, has an honourable esteem of him. But they of Jerusalem preferred a murderer before him. But as for him, they cried, away, away with him, it is not fit that he should live. Perhaps thou wilt object, that thyself hast 1,000 times preferred a stinking lust before him. I answer, be it so. It is but what is common to men to do. Nor doth the Lord Jesus make such a foolish life a bar to thee, to forbid thy coming to him, or a bond to his grace, that it might be kept from thee, but admits of thy repentance, and offereth himself unto thee freely, as thou standest among the Jerusalem sinners. Take therefore encouragement, man, mercy is, by the text, held forth to the biggest sinners. Yea, put thyself into the number of the worst, by reckoning that thou mayst be one of the first, and mayst not be put off till the biggest sinners are served. For the biggest sinners are first invited. Consequently, if they come, they are like to be the first that shall be served. It was so with Jerusalem. Jerusalem sinners were they that were first invited, and those of them that came first. And there came 3,000 of them the first day they were invited. How many came afterwards none can tell, they were first served. Put in thy name, man, among the biggest, lest thou art made to wait till they are served. You have some men that think themselves very cunning, because they put up their names and their prayers among them that feign it, saying, God, I thank thee I am not so bad as the worst. But believe it, if they be saved at all, they shall be saved in the last place. The first in their own eyes shall be served last. And the last or worst shall be first. The text insinuates it, begin at Jerusalem. And reason backs it, for they have most need. Behold ye, therefore, how God's ways are above ours. We are for serving the worst last, God is for serving the worst first. The man at the pool, that to my thinking was longest in his disease, and most helpless as to his cure, was first healed. Yea, he only was healed. For we read that Christ healed him, but we read not then that he healed one more there. John 5:1-10. Wherefore, if thou wouldst soonest be served, put in thy name among the very worst of sinners. Say, when thou art upon thy knees, Lord, here is a Jerusalem sinner. A sinner of the biggest size. One whose burden is of the greatest bulk and heaviest weight. One that cannot stand long without sinking into hell, without thy supporting hand. Be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thou to help me, I say, put in thy name with Magdalene, with Manna say, that thou mayst fare as the Magdalene and the Manna say sinners do. The man in the gospel made the desperate condition of his child an argument with Christ to haste his cure. Sir, come down, saith he, ere my child die. John 4:49, and Christ regarded his haste, saying, go thy way. Thy son liveth. Verse 50. Haste requires haste. David was for speed. Deliver me speedily. Hear me speedily. Answer me speedily. Psalm 31:2, 69:17, 102:2. But why speedily? I am in the net. I am in trouble. My days are consumed like smoke. Psalm 31:4, 69:17, 102:3. Deep calleth unto deep, necessity calls for help. great necessity for present help. Wherefore, I say, be ruled by me in this matter. Feign not thyself another man, if thou hast been a filthy sinner, but go in thy colours to Jesus Christ, and put thyself among the most vile, and let him alone to put thee among the children. Jeremiah 3:19. Confess all that thou knowest of thyself. I know thou wilt find it hard work to do thus, especially if thy mind be legal. But do it, lest thou stay and be deferred with the little sinners, until the great ones have had their alms. What do you think David intended when he said, his wounds stunk and were corrupted, but to hasten God to have mercy upon him, and not to defer his cure? Lord, says he, I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. I am feeble and sore broken, by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Psalm 38, 3-8. David knew what he did by all this. He knew that his making the worst of his case was the way to speedy help, and that a feigning and dissembling the matter with God was the next way to a demur as to his forgiveness. I have one thing more to offer for thy encouragement, who deemest thyself one of the biggest sinners. And that is, thou art as it were called by thy name, in the first place, to come in for mercy. Thou man of Jerusalem, hearken to thy call. Men do so in courts of judicature, and presently cry out, Hear, sir. And then they shoulder and crowd, and say, Pray give way, I am called into the court. Why, this thy case, thou great, thou Jerusalem sinner. Be of good cheer, he calleth thee. Mark 10:46-49. Why sittest thou still? Arise, why standest thou still? Come man, thy call should give thee authority to come. Begin at Jerusalem, is thy call and authority to come. Wherefore up and shoulder it, man. Say, stand away, devil, Christ calls me. Stand away unbelief, Christ calls me. Stand away all ye my discouraging apprehensions, for my Saviour calls me to him to receive of his mercy. Men will do thus, as I said, in courts below. And why shouldst not thou approach thus to the court above? The Jerusalem sinner is first in thought, first in commission, first in the record of names, and therefore should give attendance with the expectation that he is first to receive mercy of God. John Bunyan.